You're lucky I didn't record there. You're lucky that didn't actually wasn't recorded.
Why?
Because that's rude.
You said it
you
to yourself.
You always called yourself a silly bitch.
I can call myself a silly bitch. You can't call me silly bitch.
Your hair looks fine. Kira, I don't have to move out the way. You're literally not.
Yeah, you don't have to. There's a reason why it's there. It's because you guys can be in the shot.
I know.
Okay, are you recording?
So, yeah, are we recording? Are we recording? Welcome.
Welcome.
It's a really nice view from here.
Don't get distracted. We have to have
it's a really nice view. Like, I don't know why the camera's on us, actually. We should just show people the view.
Yeah, and then have us talking in the background while there's just the sky.
And the traffic.
And traffic.
Know. That's boring. I'm more interesting. I'm pretty to look at, so.
Okay.
Wow. Thanks.
Not even a grill.
A grill? What?
What?
And then Kiara like moves her head away from the mic.
What is in a grill?
What's in a grill? This is
you know that people will watch
off
this.
To a great start.
People will actually
here,
listen
hey?
To this, and they will hear you say the word a grill.
Kiara is clever. She's a smart, intelligent woman, but sometimes she says things
Kiara's
that don't
from
make
Benoni.
Sense. That's got nothing to do with it.
That's got everything Benoni. To do with it. Actually, that's a really good topic. Some of the things that you say.
A grill.
What are some of the things that Kiara said that's like...
What do you mean? Like...
Her stuff-ups.
Surely we're not going to do like ream Kiara in the podcast episode that we ever film. It's like...
Maybe not.
We haven't even introduced who we are and then we're like, this is Kiara.
Let's do that. Let's like loop back to that. Next mistake you make, we'll jump into that. Is that fine?
That's fine.
No.
Okay, sick. So...
So, I'm pretty. This is Kiara. And...
It's mad.
Just kidding. My name's Amy.
So yeah, I think let's just do a little bit of a hello and welcome.
Okay, cool.
So that camera is very skew. Like that's mad skew, but it's fine. I'm gonna leave it. Okay.
Are you serious?
You
set a camera up and it's skew.
Yeah, I never do that.
You never do that.
You hit record. That's your fault.
It's your fault. Matt always sets it up skew, and I'm always like, it's skew, and he's like, I don't care.
And then watch when it comes to editing.
Yeah, but then somebody else is going to edit
this.
Where's
your face? No one can hear you there.
I was looking there.
Okay. Okay, let's start. Let's start.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Hi, guys.
Welcome. Welcome to...
The State of Creation podcast.
My name is Matt, and I'm here with...
Amy.
And I'm Kiara.
And we are part of Think Story, and we're really excited to be doing this podcast and to be... recording these going forward. We want to do a podcast every kind of 2 to 3 weeks, and we want to keep this consistent, but the setup time was ridiculous. I'm getting so tired of the setup time.
Yeah, it took us an hour to set this up.
So we really need to think about how we're going to set this up and actually do this more regularly. But the podcast will be about, when we named it, we were like state of the nation, and like we wanted to kind of do a little play on words. So State of Creation is basically just kind of like looking at mass media and marketing and everything that we do
everything
in terms
creative.
Of our business, everything creative, and kind of picking it apart and discussing it. And we want to kind of give our opinions, and we'll do some commentary on current affairs as well, and current, like, little, you know, like when they did the little MTN logo. I wish we did a podcast then. We should have done a podcast.
Matt's
then.
Never letting go of
I love that MTN logo. MTN. Such a good freaking talk. We're going to interview some people as well. We'll invite some guests onto the podcast. So, yeah, if you're not boring and you're a nice person, DM us and you might be able to come on. But yeah, that's what this is about. But it's not going to be like a standard podcast where people are like, where we're like so hectically perfect and you have to kind of, you know, do a hectically...
Not all podcasts are like
hectic,
that. Some
like,
people
intro
like...
and stuff. We want to just... But with mostly business podcasts are typically like that.
Okay.
So I just want it to be more like chilled and like just us so that we can kind of share a bit of what we're like with, you know, whoever wants to listen to this for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Whoever's listening now obviously wants to listen to us.
Yeah, they got through the first 5 minutes of this, so
if it's been
welcome.
5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll see what we cut. But that might not be in it, but anyway.
Okay, so...
It's not an ASMR. So we should just not all drink.
Yeah, we just got some drinks because...
We shouldn't all drink at the same time.
It's a Friday and it's been a long week. And we've actually had it's actually been a pretty decent week. compared to the past couple of weeks.
Things have gone fairly well.
Yeah. Monday was hell. But
Monday was hell.
Everything went great. Like, we just got a new job as of this morning, which is great.
Yeah.
We sent out a ton of proposals yesterday, so that was really nice.
Got some happy clients.
Yeah.
It's weird how, to be honest with you, like, it's, you know, having done our, worked on our new brand together, like, built this whole thing, we're at the point now where I feel more confident talking about our company, Think Story, and like being able to kind of do the marketing side of it. And I think we all are feeling a sense of
confidence
and drive and like ability now,
yeah,
which is nice.
Definitely.
Yeah, we worked really hard on it, and I'm proud of us as a team.
Me too.
Yeah.
I really am.
Yeah, I think we play to each other's strengths, and we've called each other out on things that are not great and then learned from them, which is also a good sign of a good team.
Yeah. I think the whole rebranding experience also brought us together a lot.
Aww.
That's cute. Aww. But she's right.
It's very true. When I think about it though, right, if we had to bill a client for this, for what we've done in the past 6 months, oh my days.
We'd be so rich.
Yeah, we put a lot of work in. Like, late nights.
There would be no
overtime and
no way to quote a client for what we've done
without it being madness. Yeah,
insanity.
Like like the website, right? Like, I keep wanting to go back to that when we built that. We were getting quotes from developers. I still can't get the €50,000 quote we got back from one developer out of my mind. It's like R750,000. That's just so mad. And we built it in 2 months. We built it. We actually developed it, built it, like hard build, in 2 months. It was just us.
You were involved. What are you saying? You helped as well a lot.
Not with the build.
With the design, you helped. With the design.
Obviously, I'm not saying I wasn't involved. I'm just saying I can't do anything with Webflow. Actually, that's not true. I changed a couple of titles.
That's built for a client. That's built. That front end is built for a client to work with.
Well, then I'm a very good client. Anyway, I did a lot of the design and creative direction and kept you two from going crazy.
Yeah. I mean, one of the days that Amy wasn't here, we ended up cutting my hair. So
with a Leatherman. That was actually
great. No, but that was...
With a Leatherman.
I mean, that was good, though.
Like, I mean, no, look at that. Looks like, great, yeah, but like, what the hell?
The video that I saw is like of these like tiny little... Like from... A pocket knife.
And?
Yeah.
It hadn't cut anything else before. I maybe cut a little bit of paper. So it was the sharpest it has ever been. So I would argue that it's probably better than using any other scissor.
Yeah, sharp enough.
Scissor.
Any other scissor, yes.
Scissors. Oh, no.
Yes, any other pair of scissors.
But you don't just say scissors. Any other
scissor is one, surely?
But it's the scissor. Okay, I don't know.
Scissor.
I actually don't know. I don't know. We're just going to concede because we...
To me, the scissor sounds... It's been a long week. Sounds long. Sounds weird.
Okay.
Anyway, never mind.
But I think that if you think about everything that we put into that build, right? From the design to building it, having to change so much of that design, to the animations, to the code... Everything. It's actually a reasonable price.
You're so mad.
But think about it, right?
€50,000?
Yeah, because think about what we did.
It was more than what.
But you can't also. There's no way to charge for the emotional labor that went into it as well.
Yeah.
Matt spent like so much time after hours building the site and.
Matt was dreaming in code.
No,
I was dreaming in JavaScript. It was before we got to the JavaScript. I was dreaming in, it's a CSS property called SnapScroll. CSS, so it's a SnapScroll. And there's different settings to SnapScroll. But I was trying to use CSS instead of JavaScript to build the kind of locking bits. You know, when the vertical height locks down to the next section.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to build that with CSS because it would just be much more lightweight. It'll be less cuck could happen. And Yeah, I just kept dreaming in like little, like I'd see a scene of some stuff in my head and then it would immediately just snap to the next one. And then just snap to the next one.
Do you remember any of these scenes?
That's no,
like,
but
sounds like the weirdest, like most fascinating.
It can be anything, just like anything, just like a, you know, walking down the road and then just snap to the next thing. And like you're driving down the car or whatever.
And then in your brain, you're like, that's code.
No, it was, yeah, it was.
You like,
I was
you're the, like, yes, you were exactly. dreaming yeah, and yeah. you knew that it wasn't like.
I was thinking
like,
it was like snap
scroll. You know, like a code animation.
It was pathetic, actually. Yeah, it wasn't like that not healthy. I don't, but that was because I was working late. And it was like,
yeah.
I needed to.
It was an intense time. Yeah. I mean, I think it was a lot more emotional labor because it was also ours. You know, it was ours. We wanted it to be great. We wanted to show our clients who we are. We wanted to show everyone who we are. And I think that's why it took so much of us because, you know, it's not just.
That's very true.
It's not just a website. It's you know, and I know with a lot of our client work as well, it's not just a project. It's the clients. You know, it's that relationship with the clients. And it's the same with us. It's our team. It's
our
us.
Story.
It's our story, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it was so important to us. And that's why we're still so proud to show everyone.
Mm.
Everybody that asks me, what do? I'm like, oh, check it out. Check out our sites.
Here's know? Our website. This
I'm,
is what
I'm
I do.
Getting, yeah. I'm getting the hang of that because I'm still a bit, it's still like...
It's Matt's nervous to say that he's really proud of it.
Yeah, I don't really want to. Yeah,
but we are. We put a lot of effort and time and love into it.
Yeah, but then it's just the beginning. That's the thing. So like, as much as it's like we've worked really hard on this thing, like
there's so much still to come.
It's the start.
Mm.
So we've just finished the blog build, which is much more than what a standard blog would be, I guess.
Yeah.
Like we want it to be. I actually hate the word blog. I really don't like the word blog.
Why?
Because I feel like it's just, what is blog? What is a blog? What does that mean? Blog. It's a horrible word as well, blog. It's like a log. Blob with
so,
log.
So I think originally blogging started as, like when the internet started and...
Tumblr.
No, like people used blogging as like logging their, like it was like journaling and people like talking about their lives. Like a log of your life.
So why wasn't it called schlogging?
Because that sounds very sexual.
Schlogging.
In a really weird way.
Well, there's a B. Why is there a B?
Anyway, I don't know.
I don't think it should be called a blog. Because like what we're going to be putting on there is stuff that's just... It's like guides. Like full-on walkthroughs on how to do things. On how
it's basically the content library of us. Like that we are sharing with people. So you can call it a blog because that's typically how a blog is set up in terms of... sharing information where people can go and they can find information about anything that they want to know that we can help them with, you know, like how to build a website, you know, how to work with Shopify and e-commerce and how to take good photos. I don't know. There's lots of skills that we've developed over the last few years that, well, like 12 years that we want to share with people. And for free as well, I think that's also important, I think.
Yeah, very
important.
We're not trying to sell.
We're not trying to gatekeep our knowledge.
Exactly. We're trying to help.
I just think that it's like, kind of, if you can, the more value you give as a creative, or if you're in a service-based business, right, just in general, the more value you give, the more brand equity you'll build, the more goodwill you'll build as well.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have 4,000, we say we build a database of 5,000. I'd rather say we have, rather have 4,500 people who have read our stuff, who have watched videos that we produced, have listened to podcasts, have listened to and consumed everything that we've been able to share with them. I'd rather have 4,000 people do that for free than just have, say, 500 have bought.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like in our line of work, it's so important to have people speak highly of you and highly of the business and highly of the work that you're doing and how you've learned or how you've been able to, you know, help someone. I'd actually argue that that's like everyone, like every single
but
business
I mean,
needs that.
I think that the reason why we're doing that is because we want to build into this community and we want to share things with people and provide value because I think in specifically where we're located at the moment anyway, there are so many sort of small business small businesses, entrepreneurs, creatives who are really looking to grow their own business or build something more than themselves and output their creativity in new and interesting ways, and maybe just don't have the finances to do that on mm-hmm. on a scale that is expected within like the larger global industry.
Mm.
Like on our WhatsApp group, the Think Story social group.
Mm. Yeah, we have a couple.
Yeah, but on that group, there was a guy who asked about a website, like, how do I build a website?
Mm.
And I don't know, to us, like, that's just like common knowledge. Like, you know, like, we've done so many over the years. Like, we know how to do it, like, with kind of their eyes closed at this point. But a lot of people who would like to, I know there's a lot of like 16, 17, 18 year olds, 19 year olds who are creatives, who are pure creatives, who can't go and work for a massive company, who can't go and sell their soul and work like that.
Yeah.
Like,
even though their parents told them to take science because it would open doors.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like,
they're like, well, the doors are not opening that I want to open.
Mm.
And they're wanting to do something on their own. They're wanting to, like, you know, pursue their passion. I just think that that's like, yes, there's resources out there already, but I think we have a different angle. Like, I'm not trying to sell them anything. Like, I just want them to want to help them as much as we can.
Yeah.
And like, every fucking YouTuber at this point is putting out affiliate links and putting out, buy my presets, buy my LUTs, buy my this, buy my. It's absolutely pathetic at this point. So you can't really trust anyone, because if someone says to you, build a Squarespace site, use my affiliate link for my Squarespace site. It's like, bro, do you really believe in Squarespace, or they're sucking your dick and that's why you put this link out? Like,
that's the thing. And I think I think it's all, you know, what I like about our resources and our blog is that it's very comprehensive and it gives actionable items. Whereas, you know, a lot of blogs that I read, especially when I was starting up my career, and a lot of like free courses that I did and everything, I thought that it would be so valuable, but it wasn't really that actionable, right? It gave me, like, a lot of knowledge, but it wasn't really something I could really use, and it wasn't
like
really
things
that
things to think
valuable.
About, but no, like, practical solutions or steps to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and then those steps will be behind a paywall. Like.
Exactly. And for me, that was really difficult, because I obviously didn't have the money to be paying for all these different courses to grow the different skills that I wanted, right? So I just started teaching myself from experience, like started just going with the flow, like with WordPress and website building. I just built my own sites, and that's how I learned WordPress, you know. And I'd pull from a lot of different sources, but I think what's nice for us is we have something that's really comprehensive. So it gives you a lot of practical steps and a lot of resources that we suggest that we use that people can use, you know, and that's affordable. And I think with, you know, the way that AI is going, I think a lot of people are reconsidering their careers and looking at how to get ahead with their careers. And I think that a lot of people will find this valuable because of that as well. I mean,
you're going to have to work harder. Like, everyone's going to have to work harder. Like, it's just a matter of, like, fact that creatives.
No, I think everyone, not just creatives.
Yeah, but, like, I'm going to, we're on that kind of note. Obviously, everyone, for sure. But, like, I think we were chatting about the ethics of this whole thing.
Mm.
And, like, how it's going to impact creative people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you think about it, right, like, creatives are typically the typically freelancers, typically working for themselves. Like, I'm very, very broad strokes here, right? But, like, there's no protection for those people.
Mm.
Like, I freelanced for 10
years. What
do you
mean, protection?
There's no protection. There's no, you know, Employment Act that protects them. Like,
there's no security.
There's no security. There's no COVID protection blanket that covers the industry. There's nothing.
As in, like, you would be paid.
There's nothing.
There's no.
You're done. Yeah. If there's an issue, if you run into a problem as a creative, you're done. So this AI thing is a big issue because, well, it's a opportunity and a threat at the same time. I think earlier on in my career when I was working with Sony, I would talk about turning threats into opportunities and having that kind of like mindset shift. And this is a very good example of that. A lot of creators, a lot of business people, a lot of people in general, in the working world, in business as well, are like seeing this whole AI move and are freaking out. They're completely just freaking out. They're not thinking about the practical benefits.
The thing about it is that we're at the very, very cusp of AI. It's like when the internet was born. That's kind of where we are with AI. Every week, every month, there's new stuff coming out. I mean, ChatGPT was only launched last year in November, and we now have like so many other generative AI tools that are available. And I think that in itself can be overwhelming. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm really trying to embrace AI, but that is also overwhelming to me, that there's all these new things and ways to integrate things and different programs that have different functions that could help you, and it's like a lot. So yes, we definitely have to work harder and we have to integrate AI into what we do, but yeah, it's also overwhelming. It's a lot.
And it's a lot of people are scared because it takes away that livelihood that they have. You know, there's these programs that are essentially replacing what they do. So now they've got to find, you know, it's a huge learning curve to be able
to get ahead
of that.
I would argue that it's not replacing them, but it can feel like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it can feel like it's replacing them, but I would argue that it's not replacing those people.
Well, I don't think it's replacing them either. I don't think, and I know we spoke about this, but I don't think that AI is at the point where it can replace us yet.
Well, I mean, AI inherently lacks empathy and humanity. So I don't think it could potentially emulate that, but there's something about connecting with another human being.
Mm.
And I think there'll be lots of jobs that disappear because of AI, but I think there'll also be lots of jobs or ways of making a living that are created from this. Like,
Look, AI is basically just a tool. And if you're not using AI as a tool, you're going to fail.
Mm.
If you're using AI entirely, you're going to fail. And if you're not using AI at all, you're going to fail. So I would argue that you need to use it as a tool. And if you're not doing that, you're going to have an issue.
Mm.
It's basically the same as Lightroom. It's the same as Final Cut. It's the same as Webflow. It's the same as Illustrator. It's the same as any Adobe product, basically. It's the same as Excel.
Well,
It's a tool. It's something that you need to use.
Multiple tools.
It's a tool that you need to use to make your job better, to do a better job on your side.
Yes.
And to do it quicker, more effectively, more efficiently, and maybe give up a different perspective. Because that's something it does do. It gives you perspectives that you wouldn't typically consider.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just think if you're not using it at all, and if you are using it entirely, if that's the only thing you're producing, you're not going to do well either.
Everything in moderation. Well, I think you also have to have a level of, like, a sense of humor about it. Like, you can't let yourself totally despair and go, it's going to take my whole job, it's going to take my whole life. I have to, you know, change everything about what I'm doing.
Exactly.
I think that can really derail you. And I think that is also, it really feeds into imposter syndrome. As creatives, I think we often are worried that, you know, our work's not good enough, or no one's going to like it, or we don't know if we're doing the right thing. Because a lot of us, as you said, start out as freelancers, or are currently like building their own businesses and they're figuring it out as they go. So, I think we have to be like, take it with a pinch of salt, like absolutely integrate AI, but don't allow it to totally depress you to the point where like, you just give up on your creative pursuits.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I found that AI helps a lot, you know, in our jobs. It's helped us streamline a lot of things.
Yeah.
Where things that would take us a lot longer to do beforehand, it's helped us streamline them, you know? But I don't think it'd be able to replace what we do. Not yet. I don't think ever. I mean, especially in what we do, we bring that human element, you know, and I think it's really difficult for AI to replace that as well.
But I also don't want to, like, I'm tired of AI as well. I'm tired of the, posts about it. I'm tired of seeing, here are 85 resources for you to look at AI. These are 374 resources that you need to be using every day in your AI. I'm like, bro, like,
have what you seen are you doing? Some like, of these posts are such an like, AI bro. No, but I've no seen so many.
It's madness. The new finance bro. It's literally the new finance bro.
Finance bro, no more finance bros. We've got AI bros
I've
now.
Been seeing these reels or posts on socials where people will be like, and I've got like 55 unique prompts for you to use with ChatGPT. And then I'll go in and I'll look and it's like, insert
article.
Name or insert like, and it's not actually a prompt. It's just a framework where you insert certain aspects about, you know, your business or whatever you're trying to find out or use AI for. Mm-hmm. The prompts that they've got aren't helpful in the sense that it's not like a direct, if you're working email marketing and you're trying to do a campaign email, these are the things that you should say, and then blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, I don't know, it just requires more of you than what these people are saying, like, oh, I'll give you like 55 free prompts. To me, that's just unhelpful.
But it's also just not that deep. Like, you could just treat it like if you treat it like a human, you get the best out of it, genuinely.
Mm. Well, it depends on the platform. I mean,
well, GPT-4, like, you treat it like a human. It'll
like a conversation.
If you just do that, like, if you just say, look, this is what I need to write. This is what I need from you.
Yeah.
This is how I want you to write it.
Exactly.
And this is why I want you to write it, and this is just like you think about the 5 W's basically.
Exactly.
And just
but you've also
say that.
You've been a bit mean to ChatGPT.
I have.
You're literally like, no, that's wrong.
No. ChatGPT can get wrecked sometimes.
Matt thrives on constructive criticism, so he thinks that ChatGPT
on negative reinforcement.
Negative reinforcement is what it is.
Negative reinforcement.
Yeah.
Shame, I feel sorry for the ChatGPT that you talk to because I say please and thank you. I'm like, thank you so much. This is really helpful.
No, I don't say that. I say this
Matt
is trash.
Doesn't care about ChatGPT's feelings. And I promise you, if AI ever takes over, they'll come after you first.
They will. That's facts. That's actually facts. I'm dead first for sure. No, but it's
because you're like, AI is my bitch. Shut the fuck up, ChatGPT.
You're like, this isn't good.
This is so wrong. This is I hate you.
Yeah, like, no, but that's like.
Do better.
GPT 3.5.
You said that once. You said, do better.
Do better.
And then the ChatGPT model was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's my go to. No, that's my ultimate, like, response if it's just not doing well. Like, I don't need to be specific. Just do better, bro. Just rap better. Like, stop being so crap. And it works.
But
it
you're
works.
Supposed to give it like instructions on how
I know,
to
I know.
Get
Sometimes
better.
Sometimes I'm just pissed off. But it's mostly 3.5 that gives me that issue. GPT-4, yes. I'm typically...
GPT-4 is
I'm
great.
Like besties with GPT-4 now.
It's great.
But the 3.5 just gave up every time. Like,
yeah, because...
I think
it's dumb.
I think it's that's on you.
That's on you.
Yeah,
Matt.
It is. I just
Although
know.
I sometimes ask... I ask ChatGPT stuff that I should just Google. And then it says, sorry... I'm a language model. I'm not a search engine.
Oh, do you say find me this? Like
No. I've just like asked it specific questions that it's not I mean, at least until this point, like not able to it's like not an expert on certain things and or can't give me an opinion. It can give me facts, but it can't give me like, do you think this is a good idea? It'll say, well, here are the pros and here are the cons, but I can't, I'm a language model. I can't tell you whether or not you're right about this or whatever.
So when I was wrapping up the blog build, I realized that Webflow doesn't have a native comments functionality. So not like Web, like WordPress. So you actually can't just embed comments. So you have to have another comment platform like Discuss, for example, or something else, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't want to deal with this right now. So, and this was on the weekend, right? And I was tired. And I was just looking around and I was looking, Googling, trying to find some sort of platform that wasn't exorbitantly expensive because we're already paying enough for Webflow. Like, what the hell? And that was fairly easy to integrate. I couldn't find one free platform at all for a comments section. So I just went to ChatGPT. I was like, what can you help me? I was like, what can you share a comment platform for a blog, which I can integrate into Webflow? Help me. So it gave me 5 options. And then it said Facebook comments. I was like, okay, cool. Facebook comments is free. So I was like, sick. And then I was like, I wonder if we can actually do everything for me. I was like, can you break down exactly how to integrate Facebook comments into our Webflow blog? And it literally nailed it. It did it. And like, there's no guide on the internet that tells you how to do this. Like Facebook's database knowledge base.
Yeah.
Facebook's knowledge base is so crap that it's like so impossible to find out how to do something. So,
and also all their steps are outdated. Like they'll change certain phrases and buttons and then they'll how to use system. It's doesn't. So
outdated. But exactly.
What I'm saying is with GPT-4, it's like, it knows everything. So it's not looking at Facebook. It's not looking at Facebook like, bro, you need to integrate this into your thing in Facebook. Like, it's looking at Facebook. Yeah. It's looking at Webflow. It knows everything about Webflow, and it knows everything about Facebook. It's read Webflow's entire knowledge base and Facebook's entire knowledge base. So it just spewed out the exact directions. I was like, it even gave me code to put in. So I just put the code and I just customized the URL, and I was like, this shouldn't work so easily. Like, no way in Facebook could I get that. So that was really helpful. It was really, really helpful. I didn't use it much to create code, which I think I just didn't trust it. But I think I should have probably, I think I will give it a go to try and write some code for us.
Well, I've heard that it's great with code. I've heard that it's really, really great. I was actually listening to something the other day. It was a Lex Fridman podcast. And
Lex Fridman.
You say that like you're ashamed. I don't know why. I don't know who that is.
Matt mocked me the one day. Lex Fridman. He was like, you probably listen to Lex Fridman, right? Who said that to me, right? Who's that?
I don't hate him.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, but at first I thought that was offensive. And then I started listening to Lex Fridman and I was like, that's not offensive. Lex Fridman's smart. Yes. So he started a podcast, and then like he first started speaking about like AI and all of that, whatever. And then now he just like interviews different people, right? So he was speaking to the guy from OpenAI, and I listened to that podcast, and the guy was basically saying that they're still figuring out why ChatGPT does certain things and gives certain responses and not others. And then they're still trying to like basically decode ChatGPT to like figure out why it has.
I actually remember hearing that as well.
Yeah. And he was saying that it's weird because on some cases it can be biased. So like I think Lex said that he asked ChatGPT to give him like points on Jordan Peterson and Barack Obama. And it gave him more points on Barack Obama and like more positive points there. Something like that.
Can we go back to the beginning?
I just want to translate that for people who are not having a clue what the hell was just said there. Kiara's referring to Barack Obama.
Those comments she made at the beginning Barack about Agreel. Can we agree that it's Barack Obama?
No, it's Barack. Barack you said Obama. Barack Obama. Barack it's a type of mango. Like a fruit salad. I mean, I'll have the Barack Obama, please.
It sounds like a pina colada, like a cocktail. Like
you're in Hawaii and you're having Barack Obama on the beach.
Going back to what Kiara is saying, while she just like laughs away from the mic, there are cases of where ChatGPT is showing bias, and I think the more it grows and the more, because this is the thing about AI that I find so mind-boggling. Like I can't wrap my mind around how the people who have made it don't even know everything that it can do, because you cannot house all that information in a human brain. Like, it just isn't possible. So, you know, and for me, that brings up a lot of ethical questions as well in terms of like how it's going to be used in the future. But like just in terms of the technology, it's like insane. So the fact that, you know, the guy who's like directing OpenAI is there sitting in an interview being like, yeah, we still don't really know exactly how it works.
Yeah.
It's a bit crazy.
So I logged on to ChatGPT the other day and like a little notice came up and it said that ChatGPT, they're in like testing purposes now. So it was for like 1 or 2 days that they were doing this. And they were they said that like ChatGPT may give more biased answers than others for some things. So, you know, in those 2 days they were testing it. But what I really liked about that interview that he had with Lex was he was really open and transparent about where they were. And I think Lex asked a question where it said, he asked, you know, like, are you scared or are you worried about, you know, the public and you saying this, you know, to the public? And he said something about the transparency and he wants to just, you know, be honest about where they are. And I really appreciated that as well. And it's true, it's because, you know, it's like ChatGPT has just started out, basically, right? And it's not necessarily, I mean, if you think of the internet and computers, they all started out and they were all like really janky at first. And like, you know, if you think of computers, they were like these huge computers. And my dad said when he was a kid, there was like one huge computer that took up an entire room that had the processing power of like a phone now, you know? And it's crazy to think of how that evolved so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same with ChatGPT, right? And it's really interesting to me because what we're experiencing AI and ChatGPT to be now, it will be so different.
That's what I was saying earlier. Yeah, it's like the birth of the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the birth of AI. Like, we don't know where it's going. There's so many possibilities.
The technology will plateau, though. So, I mean, I don't see us just dealing with another, like, what's happened the past 30 years. It won't happen again for the next 30 years.
Are you sure?
In terms of the amount of growth and the speed of the growth, there's the plateau. Like, we only know as much as we know right now. And there's only so much information we can get, more information we can get.
But there's always more opportunities to
learn. Sure, it's just, yeah, we will. It's just not going to go, like, we're not going to be flying in 2 years.
I guess what you could say is that if we just left AI to keep learning and do its own thing without inputting stuff as humans and as people who research things and learn things and do things in the world, then yeah, I think it would plateau. But if we keep feeding it and we keep using it, and do you know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of using it to innovate, to create, to inspire you to invent things and find solutions to problems that we've had that haven't had solutions. You know what I mean? Like, if we're using it like that, then I think that there's a potential for it to be a continual growth.
We shall see.
Should we take bets?
We shall see. We're now in May. We're now in June. We've just finished May. We're almost halfway through the year. I finally feel like we're like revving up where we need to be.
And yeah.
I'm excited for the next couple months. I'd like to, if anyone's actually still listening, I'd like to ask a couple questions. We basically want to produce as much content as possible. We want to produce some like products, some free products and some paid for products that will help people do what they need to do in their businesses and their creative endeavors and careers and stuff. So yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys. Please just like, you know, actually talk to us after this. Drop us a message. If you aren't on the WhatsApp group yet, just drop a message to ThinkStory.co.
Yeah, DM us on socials.
And then we can get you in.
But I think you can join our WhatsApp community from our socials. You don't have to.
No, not anymore.
Did you change that?
Yeah, because there was some idiot who was trying to Bitcoin rat
him. Oh my gosh.
So he came in and tried to spam this thing. So
three times.
I blocked him like 5 times. It was ridiculous.
Oh, seriously? Okay, so you can DM us and we'll add you to the group because it's full of creatives. And
so yeah, we're wanting to really push to build a community. And something I felt that like post-COVID has just caused this almost social rift, maybe.
Yeah, like 3 years in a lockdown will do that to a person.
Yeah, I think people are.
To a society.
Like, I remember when I started, I would never be at home. Like, I was never at home.
Really?
There was 2 months where I was at home. And that's when I was like...
In COVID?
No, no, no. When I started my career.
Like, no, at the beginning of your career.
I was working everywhere except home because I was like, I just want to meet new people and get out there and network. And tons of people were working from cafes. And I remember like met friends at cafes and just go sit there and just leech off of them. But it's not about that. It's like we're seeking connection. We're seeking like more than just, you know, a space to work. It's more of a space to connect. And I feel like we've kind of lost a bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the co-working space we're in, like people don't really talk to each other too much. And I think people will kind of keep their head down and work. But every now and then someone will say hello and you'll kind of have a little bit of an interaction, but I can still feel like this chick here sitting here today.
Yeah.
Like she's looked up at us a couple times.
Yeah.
And I felt awkward. I don't know who she is. One? I just is a chick here. I felt awkward. I was like, I don't really want to know. I don't want to be that guy and be like, hey, how are you doing? Like, my name's Matt. Nice to meet you. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then I also, she's like sitting on her own. And I'm like, I know she's kind of, we actually do the same thing. We like do a similar work.
Yeah.
Focus and it would just work. Be, we should have just, like, I need to also break those, like, barriers down in my mind as well. Like, I don't really have that kind of confidence that I did pre-COVID with meeting new people. Yeah. And I think a lot of people have that. Like, it's weird because when you say hello to someone, they're like, oh my fucking God, I'm so happy to speak to you.
Yeah, it's like
and they like smile actually, and they're like really excited to speak.
I mean, you know? I think COVID and the fact that we were prohibited from like talking to each other in close proximity, shaking each other's hands, hugging.
Yeah,
like those things really were a way to connect with someone on a very like acquaintance level. Like it wasn't super intimate, but it's still somehow
it's that human interaction. It's that
human touch and space, and you when you lose that for 2.5 years, that's a huge amount of time that it's going to change the way your body and your mind think about these social interactions. And I mean, then it's like changes your anxiety about it as well in a situation.
Huge.
I would just like us to be part of the solution as much as we can be. Yeah. Like, you know, within the creative community. Like, there's tons of freelancers out there sitting at home right now that are just kind of plugging away, doing the job, and then, you know, they have no real connection.
Yeah.
So I'd like us to try and build out the community as much as we can, invite as many people as we can, and
work with people.
And we'll be doing like meetups, like drinks and workshops as well, just to help people out. So but that'll come in the next couple of months as well. But next step for us is building up that community, and
also it's nice to have friends.
Newsletter as well.
Maybe that sounds corny, but that was one of my New Year's resolutions this year, is to make more friends. And I think people in the creative community, especially if you're working as a freelancer, a lot of the time you can feel like you're competing with everyone who's in the same industry as you. And it's like, no, that's not always true. And also, why can't you be friends with those people? We're not all trying to like one up each other in some like horrible way. I think there's huge, you know, I think there's a huge space right now that people just want to connect with each other. So hopefully we'll be able to do that effectively and provide a really fun space for people to do that.
It's a common misconception that people think that if I share too much with this person, how will I be able to charge them for my services? If I know X amount of stuff and I share a lot of stuff with them, how will I have enough to actually charge them for the work that I'm doing? And I'm referring to us with our like marketing advice and production advice and everything, development design advice. But then on the other hand, that person is thinking, if this person is giving me this much information for free, can you imagine if I paid them? So it's, you know, you're building goodwill, you're establishing yourself as a real proper point of authority, as someone who knows, an expert in their field who knows what's going on. As much as in depth as it will be, there'll still be so much more that we could share, that we, you know, that we just need the right. And what people kind of forget when they're sharing stuff with other people is that you have you can share something on the surface level, like a general, like general stuff, general, like general examples or how to do a market, like build a marketing strategy generally. But it's difficult to
get it specific,
to get it very specific to a specific business person or very specific kind of focus.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, your services will come in handy.
Mm.
So yeah, I just think like the sharing mentality and kind of working to build that, I think it's the most important thing for me. Yeah. It always has been, like, it's always been that. I just haven't really had I haven't really been standing behind the brand that I believe in.
Mm.
And now I kind of feel like now we have I feel like I have the confidence to actually build it out, which I'm looking forward to doing.
And I think it's you know, having conversations with people in your field is really important because you get lots of different perspectives and you are able to see how different people think and their mindsets. And it, you know, it helps you as well. You know, when I joined our company, I learned a really different way of thinking, which I wouldn't be able to learn at, you know, just anywhere. And that I really appreciate. And you pick up on these things from lots of different people, even if it's small little things that you pick up, it really does add up, you know.
What about joining Think Story? Do you feel like change? Like, what was the way of thinking that changed?
I think before, I thought really generally, and I didn't think, you know, especially with like streamlining things and being effective with the work that I do, you know, I wasn't really thinking that much about the work I was doing. So if we think about the blog posts we just recently created, when I first started, I think I would have written them very differently to compared to like how we think about them now. You know, I think I would have just written, okay, well, this will be useful, and I'd put it in, but then it wouldn't actually be that useful, that valuable. And now we went through the blog post and a whole lot of things, I just realized, like, we're so practical, you know, the way that we wrote it was really practical, and it's actionable compared to what I would have written when I first joined, which is really interesting, you know. And it doesn't just go for that, but that's just a small example. But it's just the way that I've, you know, thought about, like, how we work with our clients and building relationships and interacting with people. It's all of those things that I've learned so much about from being here that I never really thought were important before, and I never really thought of in a different way. And it's just helped me so much, you know, grow personally and in my career.
It's really interesting.
It would be great to have a community of creatives that we can work with, have these conversations with. And yeah.
Yeah, and maybe a ping pong competition.
Yeah, I'm terrible though at ping pong.
Kiara is the worst.
I'm so bad.
We have
You're
ping
pretty
pong.
Bad as well.
I'm.
You're really bad as well.
I'm not
I really
that
don't
bad.
Understand how you guys can't hit the ball. Like, we need to have.
I
need
don't
to do
have good hand
Phil.
Eye coordination.
Can
Phil
we play chess
good.
Instead?
Phil played like professional ping pong.
So what? Then you want to put us against
I think he
Phil.
Did. Or he did. He was like a coach or some shit. Like,
so you want to put us against
then
Phil?
Then I was a coach for
who
ping
will
pong.
Destroy us, even though we were already destroyed before.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good session.
That was a good session.
Good session.
We shall do this again in 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
State of creation.
And we need to commit to it. The problem with this is the setup.
Yeah.
So we need to simplify the setup and make it a little bit more
yeah.
chilled.
Yeah.
But keep a watch on our
socials. Yeah.
And you'll see when our next podcast comes out, our next episode.
Yeah, and if there's anything that you feel would be cool to talk about or people that you think we could interview, especially in the creative industry and small businesses and, you know, helping creatives with business, I think that's another thing, because I think a lot of creatives struggle with, like, talking about money and talking about how to set things up and actually run a business.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to chat, we'd love to interview people. So yeah, if you have any ideas or you think you guys are so boring, please talk about something else. Give us that feedback as well.
It would really help.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll chat to you guys again soon.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.